This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for making yourself at home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Good morning, Taranaki. This is the radio show Making Yourself at Home on 104.4 FM, your voice, your choice. We are here with myself, Brian from the United States, Elena from Romania, Clara from Spain, and our special guest, Reina from Indonesia.
Yeah, good morning, Brian.
Good morning, everyone.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. So nice to see you again and looking forward to this episode. Yeah, so I will introduce Reina. Reina is originally from Indonesia, and her story spans from Indonesia, Singapore, Japan, and New Zealand. And once she was a flight attendant, then a full-time mother in a foreign land, Reina understands what it means to start again without language, without community, and with deep responsibility. This is beautiful. And I know Reina for almost 1 year, and she's a beautiful mother and friend for me. So I'm looking forward to interview her today.
How are you, Reina? Very, very good. Thank you for having me here. And yeah, I try to share a little bit of my life experience moving, hopping around the world.
Yes, yeah, and you did a lot of hops because I know you moved from Indonesia, as you said, and then you've been to Japan.
Yes, yes.
And New Zealand. Do you want to start like with your first?
Well, yeah.
When did you move home, like,
well,
from your
I think
country?
Since young, was always this Indonesian girl who wants to live somewhere else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then a story happened when I met my husband, which is, you know, that took me to New Zealand. After we met when we were young, and then he decided to take me to his home, which is New Zealand.
Beautiful.
Yeah, yes. Show him around.
Is he from Taranaki?
He's from Tauranga. He grew up in Tauranga. So he showed his his home, New Zealand, beautiful New Zealand.
Yeah.
And yeah, since then I was just like, oh, this is so beautiful, beautiful country. And I think I fall in love.
Mm. And for the country or from him?
Well, for both. Luckily for both, and for luckily nice. It's reciprocate that he loved me also.
Of course, I'm sure he did.
Did you two meet in Indonesia?
Or? Yeah, we both met in Indonesia. Well, we were like, I was studying in uni, and he was studying his journey as a pilot in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway, so that's when it started. And because of that one travel, I wanted to be a flight stewardess, just to, you know, to see the world more. And it happens to, Singapore Airlines happened to hire at that time, that year, so I tried to join and applied, and I got it. Yeah, I got it.
Well
lucky.
Done.
With a lot of, interview and, tumble here and there. But I got the job, and from there, just started flying and seeing the world, and it was one of the best, experience or part of my life.
Yeah.
And it opens my eyes from this, just a young Indonesian who never traveled before, really never traveled before, and travel all over the world and see all the culture, beautiful cultures all over the world.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And how long have you been the flight attendant?
It was like 5 years. Perfect.
5 years.
Yeah.
So and you were based in Singapore?
I was based in Singapore, yeah. And my husband at the time was still working in Indonesia, but he managed to get a job. And we were both like in Singapore for 2 years. And then, we just enjoy Singapore. I travel, and he also travel with his job. And Singapore is such a beautiful country also, with a lot of cultures there.
Mm-hmm.
And then story move on when I got pregnant and I have to stop and leave my job. And yes, move on to my next page of my life.
Adventurous.
Adventurous, yeah, with my husband's job that takes us to Japan. So there you go, another new story, new page starts.
Yes.
Where I was a new mom in a country that I don't really know.
Yeah. Did you know Japanese?
No,
when you arrived
nothing,
there?
Zero.
Okay.
Zero Japanese.
And your husband? Did
no,
he?
Nothing.
Okay. It's quite interesting.
So
right?
We were just like, okay, we're just going to go and see how it goes. And then like, yeah, so took some lesson while I was pregnant.
Some Japanese
yeah,
lessons?
Yeah, some Japanese
right?
lesson.
Oh, amazing.
And so
okay.
Like go back to study again.
Mm. So nice.
And then, yeah. My kids born and just busy involved with kids, raising young
children yeah.
without family around can be quite, you know, full time and take the whole of yourself.
Wow.
And just, you know, finding friends and going through some stages because it can be hard when you're alone in the country with no one else, family or friends. And yeah, and then but here in that area in Japan, I think there's another page of me evolve into someone else, mm-hmm. and after that, I just get myself busy with study, making friends, and also practicing my yoga. As always, that been in me before I started traveling, and. Once the kids are quite growing bigger and older, I have more time to like study more and then start teaching yoga. And now I'm here in New Zealand after 7-8 years in Japan. Another chapter for
yes.
a little bit.
And how long have you been in New Zealand?
For maybe 1 year and 3 months, yeah. Exactly 1.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you came directly to New Plymouth?
Or? Yes, yes, mm-hmm. I come directly to New Plymouth. And,
why New Plymouth?
Why New Plymouth?
From all the beautiful
why not?
New Zealand.
It's beautiful. It has a mountain, looks like Mount Fuji.
yeah, it does a little bit.
And
Mount
it has
Fuji.
An ocean that's
yeah.
so beautiful. Well, it's just I think the option was two city that I would settle in New Zealand, which is where my parents-in-law is in Dunedin, or here where my husband little brother my husband little brother.
It's already a brother, right?
Yeah,
he's like a brother to you.
My
yeah.
brother who lives in here. So we just thought like here's maybe. I don't know, the heart just calls, you know, like mm-hmm. me and my husband decided, let's just, you know, go to this New Plymouth and try here and see, because,
yeah.
you know, we've traveled to Dunedin quite a few
yeah.
as, you know, visiting parents every year, and we know how it is, but I don't know, just maybe in us, like, let's try something different, fully.
Because it's quite different, right? Like, yeah. I know you were living in Tokyo in Japan, right?
Yes.
Which is quite big. And Dunedin is also very big. Not
yeah.
bigger than New Plymouth. And then, to choose New Plymouth, it's quite interesting, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a thing with New Zealand. Whenever I travel to New Zealand, I like this small, not too big town
yeah.
that gives you kind of... an easy life, small community, not
yeah.
too much going on, so much nature that I'm missing from how I grew up in Indonesia.
Yeah.
I think Jakarta, Singapore, as you know, it's like full city, full of cars, full of
yeah.
traffic,
right?
And
yeah.
building concrete. And then I just think I appreciate this nature more, and this is what you get. You don't have to be like, even in a big town, you still have that access. But I feel like maybe smaller town gives more like intimate kind of feeling, you know?
Yes, and just going back to your, because I feel the same in New Plymouth, you know, it's such a nice
yeah.
small community and everybody's very close to the other. So
yeah.
it's So it's quite nice.
The community as an arting are very open to, you know, all people who wants to come and settle in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a beautiful town. Come on, one way driving,
yes.
You see the town, you see the ocean, one direction is the mountain. It's
yeah.
just...
It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really
nice. I mean,
nice.
I'm lucky and I'm glad that I follow my heart to settle here.
Amazing.
I'm interested to hear a bit about your life in Indonesia growing up. Where did you... What island was it? And you mentioned a lot of people look to move away from Indonesia. Can you talk about what that is about in the culture, where that comes from?
Yeah, where I come from, the big city, Jakarta, the capital
okay.
city. I can see why people want to move out of the town because it's such a high and hardworking town.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not very efficient. So I think some people with the infrastructure and all the situation in the town. So it has a lot of potential in it, but the government just need to make it more efficient, which takes a long, long time for people like maybe who've seen what they can get outside or feel like they can be more independent and want to achieve more, they need to go outside. I mean, Singapore is just like 30 minutes or 45 minutes flight. So
oh,
some
really?
People, yeah. So some people just want to go to Singapore or Perth or Australia just because I think they're tired of how messy is the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad, but they're getting better. I grew up is just as a simple Indonesian from a moderate family, I say,
mm-hmm.
not a rich or I didn't go to international school. I went to a local public
mm-hmm.
school, learn English by basically just an extra curriculum in my
yeah.
life. No, none of in my family speaks of foreigners, speaks
mm-hmm.
English, but me and my sister always love learning language, English, so. And and then because I have a dream, like I said, I want to go out just because I want to get away from this and explore more what's outside. I know the English is the main key to be outside, to get outside Indonesia,
the country, right?
Outside
yes,
in
yeah.
country.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a very interesting country with a lot of multicultural and hardworking people
yeah.
and potential. Some lucky to be like me who managed to get out, learn English and get a job outside and create a life outside and also, you know, make their life better and then maybe come back or maybe
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the kind of country that we are in. It's a big population with so much potential in it. It is gonna get there. I think it's growing. People know that it's one of the most active age world in the world for like business and
mm-hmm.
All those kind of creative people who want to create business and opportunity
mm-hmm.
for all this level of population in there.
I think it's Jakarta is one of the most densely populated
yes,
cities
now.
In the world. Yeah.
Right now, yeah.
yeah.
It is one of densely now in the
wow.
world.
How many people
oh,
are living there?
The number?
Now?
Maybe I should have to ask ChatGPT. But it is it's denser than Tokyo. It beats Tokyo. It used to be Tokyo.
Wow.
Yeah, and then now it's dense. Like I said, the productive age is very high and they are very creative now in creating business and all kind of stuff. It has changed a lot, and it has a lot of potential. And I just hope it's the governments and everyone, the young people, will you know build the country and to the right direction.
Mm.
And because it can be a great country in the
yes,
future.
Yeah.
Is your family still living there?
Yes, my family still living there. My brothers, my two brothers, and my parents. Yeah.
Okay. Do you go often there?
I do go.
Have they come here?
I try to go every once a year, sharing between New Zealand and Indonesia to visit, or my parents will come to me wherever I am. Yeah. But it's kind of hard when you have two parents in two countries to share your time. To, you know, to, especially when now my kids are in the school age, so you need to share the right time on this, you know. Yeah, but I try.
And I am curious, yeah, like, do you have any traditions from Indonesia that you have taken with you to Japan or to here in New Zealand?
The tradition.
Yeah, traditions or like, yeah, things from your culture that you keep and that you maintain, although you are not living there anymore.
Well, that, that's a hard, well, good question.
Yeah, it can be little things. It doesn't have to be like huge things.
I mean, she told me the other day.
From, like, from your country, your home country.
You said that one with the chicken that you are cooking.
Oh, yeah. I think the food is always like that. Always, I'm trying to bring my. I'm not a good cook, so I'm learning to cook, and I think the one thing that I want to bring first right now is I'm learning to cook more Indonesian food. But I'm not a good cook, so it's gonna take
I mean, I think you're really good. The other day, she came to our house and she was helping me so good cutting the vegetables and very precise.
Really
admire that. Yeah.
Thank you so. I think one of the things also that I bring the resilient hard work that I learned from growing up there. That's what I bring here. I mean, I don't know. There is funny how people think. I think there is a silly survey, oh not silly, a survey that is not accurate, saying that Indonesian is one of the laziest because they don't walk. One of the laziest country in the world. People, because they don't walk enough. Thing is, there is no pathway there to walk. So we actually, there is no sidewalk to walk. So we actually work so hard to go somewhere, to get somewhere, wake up early and stuff. But that's how I grew up. So I think that resilient, working hard and waking up from early since young to be in town, study and stuff like that, and to just, you know, strive. It's from where I am. It's that's what I bring here, like being grateful for where you are, what surrounds you, and where I am now. I think it's just
I remember when I haven't been to Jakarta, but I have been to Bali and one of the times I spent there 2 months. So I noticed everyone was really grateful for what they had.
It's how we brought up, just to be like grateful and family always first, and then just because so many layers in Indonesia, you've seen from the very fortunate one and to the unfortunate one or not. Yeah, so I just think, and with the traveling around the world, even I see more in it. And it's a lot of thing. I'm grateful to be able to see that, because not many in the world, I think, to be able to...
It's a gift, right?
Travel to and be, see what... Yeah. The worlds are, you know, culture and everything in it. Yeah,
amazing.
Did you travel around Indonesia very much?
Not really. I haven't traveled my own country, which one of the goal. I've been to the Java Island. I've traveled Java, where I come from, because Indonesia have about 5 main big islands, and I'm from Java, and I just do Bali, Jakarta, and I've been to Sumatra, but that is one of the things I want to do once I have more time. It's to travel Indonesia, all over Indonesia. I think my husband traveled more and see more of Indonesia.
It's quite a common thing for people not traveling their home countries and more global travel.
It's true, it's common. And also, like, I think the infrastructure and the access to this island, other part of Indonesia is quite difficult.
Just little puddle jumpers and...
Yeah, small airlines and, you know,
boats
and everything. That's why it would be great when my kids maybe a bit bigger and they can handle this traveling more. And I would love to explore my own country. And yeah, and also same thing, like sometimes it's more expensive to travel your own country and you feel like
it's a very touristic place.
Yeah, it's always there. Let's go somewhere else. And
yes.
And I'm just like, again, like I get to travel because of my job. I mean, I'm so grateful that I get that one job that really flipped and opened up my other character and my eyes. And yeah, I get to see the world. If I get a job for Garuda Indonesia, I will see all of Indonesia.
Yes, you can fly to all the little islands.
Yeah, and it would be great for us. Like fun to see that. But no, yeah. So I got a job in for Singapore Airlines. So I've managed to.
Which country have you traveled? You know, all over.
Most of the time, most of like from Brazil to Spain and UK and everywhere, all those big Australia, New Zealand, I hope all over the world.
United States?
Yes! LA, and then New York, yeah.
Which was your favorite route when you were working?
Barcelona.
I was thinking perhaps it was Spain, yes.
Barcelona is one of my favorite, and I always love to go back to Auckland. That's New Zealand, Auckland or Christchurch. I love that. And also, I mean, it's every country I have the favorite. In US, my favorite would be New York.
No.
I don't know if I'm going to live there, but
that's
how
I feel about it.
Yeah,
a number of my best friends lived there for a while, and I loved the energy, visiting.
Yeah,
but living there would really be draining.
It's has character in one of this thing. Those city, such a fragrance and nice. I don't know. Singapore Airlines doesn't
go together.
There, so.
This is our next trip, right? So when I visit, hopefully I visit you in Japan next year or the year after, and then we go to Romania.
Yeah. Well, I also love Japan, actually. When I was traveling as a Singapore Airlines, I always enjoy when I'm... when I flew to Japan. So when the idea came in, my husband said, I got a job in Japan. So should we go? I was like, why not?
Right? All over the world.
I love Japan. See, this might not happen if I don't travel or work for Singapore Airlines because, you know, because I would be like, why would I go to Japan? I don't know anyone.
So you are heading back to Japan, to live in Japan?
I might have to put a pause on my life in New Plymouth and then go back to Japan for for a little bit. And someday I will go back to New Zealand because I think we agree as a family that we call New Zealand home.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, so we don't know where, New Plymouth up there, but just the whole country, New Zealand are. Yeah.
It's beautiful, right?
Yeah, it's home for us. Yeah. So hope the time comes when we can settle here.
It's amazing to see, you know, somebody who has traveled so much around the world and chooses New Zealand, right? To come and settle in. And why is that? What do you love the most in New Zealand?
It's just the perfect package, I think. Like,
tell us, what is the package?
The package is the nature. The people are super nice and chilled, and the nature are beautiful, and the culture, and it's just, it's pretty sweet where you can just drive 5 minutes to a beautiful beach and it's quiet.
Yes.
And you can drive 10 minutes to a mountain and it's like...
It's quiet, right?
It's quiet also. And then also like beautiful. Well, you can just basically find a beautiful spot every 30 minutes driving. I mean,
And how about your kids? How did they adapt to New Zealand? Is it their favorite country, or?
Yeah, I think it's become theirs. They learn Hakka.
They learn Hakka,
They sing song in Maori now in the morning, sometimes in the showers. Very cute. And yeah, I think they love it. The friends, they make friends, and they love the nature. And yeah, I think it's you travel a lot, and you realize that New Zealand is quite a safe and beautiful and very comforting country, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know, with the nature and no gun.
No guns, yeah.
And it has its own problem a little bit. Of course, every country will have their own problem. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. And is there any things that, like, a cultural shock that when you came in New Zealand, you said, okay, it's quite challenging for me, this, or something that you will...
Well, cultural shock, there's always cultural shock everywhere.
It is, right?
Yeah, everywhere.
Can you take us through your journey of culture shocks?
Oh, yeah.
Starting
true,
with Singapore, then Japan, and then New Zealand?
Oh, the Singapore. Okay, well, Singapore, the cultural shock in Singapore. Well, I would say Singapore is quite easy because, like I said, it's a very multicultural country.
Yeah, so you can.
It's just a mold of blending of all country and all character. But I do have a cultural shock in there with the how competitive they are.
Yeah.
They're very high competition,
yeah.
And very high level. First world country, you know how great the country are. It comes from somewhere, right? Because they are like super competitive, and they are very hardworking also, and smart people. So I believe that that's the little bit of a cultural shock. Maybe the language a little bit, because they speak a little bit of different English. But I really understand it, and then. It's quite easy. Singapore is quite easy to maneuver. You also meet a lot of Indonesian and a lot of other, and the people in Singapore are also very open to you and very welcoming to you. The Japan one is a big challenge.
It's a big one, right? Yeah.
It's quite an insular culture, right?
Japan?
Yeah.
Yes. They are very, they are very close but very polite. Very polite culture. They welcome you to a certain surface.
Yeah, similar with maybe here or more with Germany. I know that they're quite, or it's different.
And they are very kind. They're very friendly. They accept when you are from outside, when you don't know all their rules. Because Japan have those very strong culture that they
very
put.
Formal.
Formal culture that they put since young, even from like first grade. Yeah, first grade. They put it like that. Public or the public comes first before your individual need. So the harmony of the public will come first before your needs. So there's a lot of like unwritten rules as a foreigners to come there, and you can't just. Okay, you read book, that would be great if you want to come to Japan. Read a book a little bit for a small little thing what you need to do when you're in public transportation, because there are rules there. Just a little
Can
rules.
Can you tell us like an anecdote about something that happened
that,
to you? Something like a rule that you didn't know and then you learned by doing something wrong.
A lot. That would be like a long story. So, well, small little rules. I read the book before I moved there, so I really respect culture. Like, I know I'm aware of how strong the culture is, so I actually read the book before I moved there. Mm-hmm. What I need to be aware of this little Japanese culture. So one of the funny thing is, in Japan, it's very important you have an indoor shoes and outdoor shoes. Mm. So the funny thing, when you are looking at the houses, right, and we just come in, it's just empty house, right? So we just want to look inside, see if it's going to work with us. And we were just decided to step in with our outdoor shoes. And the real estate agent was like, shocking with their face. No, you have to change your shoes. No, this is so disrespectful for you to step into even an empty house with Mm-hmm. Outdoor shoes.
Will it be okay to go barefoot, or you will need
barefoot? Also
no,
not
good.
Not good. Oh, okay. So either socks, or they will give you a slippers, indoor shoe slippers. Nice, pretty slippers. Yeah, nice, pretty slippers. So that's the one. But barefoot is not allowed. Socks is okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's all about hygiene. Mm-hmm. If you come and ask them again, why? I think is when you want to know why, it's about hygiene, right? Going inside someone else's house, and I don't know what you step on your shoes. It's a dense community. Mm-hmm. So you might step on
something
unexpected. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. I was like, oh no, it's just like, oh, I'm sorry. We just thought it's an empty house. You know, I just go and check it. I mean, apartment empty. And then from now, that one thing. And there's a lot of other stuff, you know, like even the kids, when, you know, how kids likes to look at the window and on the train, right? You're supposed to take off their shoes, or the sole of the shoes should not touch the chair. Yeah. Those are the things you won't know, but that's like small little thing that they're really unwritten, and you learn it from by looking how other mom tell their kids, you know, oh, don't do this, don't do that. Mm-hmm. And they're very, even the playground, the kids are taught by the parents to just, okay, wait until this one finish, and it's just from young. Mm-hmm. So it's just those small little thing, learning from watching and what other
people
mother
does
or other people do. Queuing into the train station is you have to wait. Queuing is on the side of the door and let the people out first, and then you go in. But you just have to see like what other people. They're very like interesting culture. And I think learning, you have to watch them and respect them when you come into like someone else's house, right? It's just like how when you have a guest, you want people to respect your rules, what you do at home or so that's what I do. I learn it by watching what other people and read some books. And other than that, as long as you respect all what, how to keep the public harmony, like the harmony in the public, I think you'd be fine in Japan. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, respect other feeling, other people feeling. That's the big cultural shock for me, just to make sure that I don't do something wrong.
And you said something like, you mentioned to me about the language, that when you go to Japan, it's good to know the language, right? So you have to learn it?
Yeah.
Okay, otherwise it's not good?
No, otherwise life is a bit hard. So I managed to learn the language and be able to read some of the Japanese characters just to get by on daily basis. I'm not saying that I'm as fluent as my English, but definitely having a small conversation and reading and asking people in the shop, I can do that, and make my life slight easier. Okay. And I think they respect that, the people you serve, when you can, once you try to speak their language, even though it's broken, and they understand it, they will try to understand it. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, it's just good. That's my, and that's Japan. New Zealand. New Zealand, I think the pressure is a bit more, because I actually speak the language fluently. Yeah.
It's more pressure, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit more pressure because you understand them, and almost like you're over stimulating it because you understand everything, and a little bit of pressure. You should be able to handle this, you know. But then again, there's also unwritten rule, and then there's thing that you just need to get along and see, and being reading the other people respond and knowing it that, okay, you know, that's what they meant, and then learn by mistake. You know, you just have to, in yoga,
to
I would just say like, sometimes like, the pose is done, move on, you know, like just like, what happened done is move on and learn the lesson, and then
do something else.
Yeah, so, but I'm lucky that I just try to focus on putting myself in what I love, sport and yoga. And from there, hopefully through what I love doing, I meet people
that they are similar with you.
Yeah, that's similar with me. I think the hard thing about New Zealand is knowing those, the unwritten culture between each.
Tell us, what is that? It's a big introduction. Do you have one, like something that was challenging for you, or?
Well, I think This is hard. Like,
it's a hard one. And maybe if you don't have one.
Yeah, maybe you don't have one, and that's fine.
No, I think the fact that by default, like, everyone are kind very nice. And everyone are so busy with their life. How you know it is in New Zealand with with full-time mom and full-time working mom and, trying to make better life for everyone. And I just realized that time is very valuable for everyone here.
Yes,
so
it is,
when
right.
someone willing to spend time with you, you better appreciate it. And then
create more opportunity
with it and try to be make the most out of it and be kind and then and everyone just
they will be kind back, right? So I think it's
of course like everyone are very just busy and then mm-hmm. everyone have their own life.
Exactly
I guess that's a good reminder that time is very valuable.
And I feel also here like I didn't know in New Zealand that, for example, Sunday it's a family day, something that I found out, because I didn't know, like in Romania we don't have Sunday family day. But I know here is like more spending time with the family. So this I realize here, for example.
Something like that.
Something like that, right? From
like seeing other family does, and then mm-hmm. by talking and maybe get someone Kiwi fill us in a little bit.
Yes, exactly.
How you they grow up here. Mm-hmm. But it's been great.
I was thinking about a different topic, and as a fellow yoga teacher, I am curious to listen, how was your journey with yoga? How did you start practicing, and how did you decide to become a yoga teacher? How was that process?
I started practicing since I was 20 years old, like before my traveling, before my job before I got a job for Singapore Airlines. I was a yoga practitioner for a long, long time, and I always wanted to be a yoga teacher. But I had to put it on pause because I had a job. Yeah. I got a job for Singapore Airlines, but it's always part of my life practice that I never leave. So and then finally, just life distract me and doing other stuff, and finally in Japan, I think I really need something to just for me to get back and just focus on myself, because like I said, raising kids, small one, with no one I know around, it was hard. It was like a time where I was a bit depressed in Japan, a new mom, alone, no friends, doesn't know what to do, and husband away for working because he's a pilot. So it can be quite lonely and hard mentally.
Right.
Like
quite hard, yeah.
I love being mother.
It's a big
like,
journey,
you know,
it can be amazing.
quite hard on mentally, obviously with the hormone change also. Anyway, but and I get back, and then I know that if I get back to yoga or do something that I like for myself, it will just revive my energy, and that's when I started doing yoga. No matter what, I make time to do yoga in my busy motherhood mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. And the call come, I think it's time for me now to dive into yoga teaching. So I found time and then went back to Indonesia, took my kids to Indonesia and went for a yoga teacher training for like 2 weeks. And then get back to Japan and start to teach along my friends, just my community, my surrounding, whoever wanna practice, come practice with me. And then from there, just evolve, working for a studio, and then I don't really have much time, so I'm just happy to have like
once a week. So you are teaching one time per week.
Yeah, one time or twice a week in Japan. I'm happy with that. And then I moved to New Zealand, and that's when I need to know my find my community first. Looking, went to the yoga studio to just get to know what kind of a yoga community here, know the people, and then, you know, put myself out there. Took a few class in, took a lot of class in Driva's yoga. And then, yeah, and after like 6 months, I think, I put myself and briefed myself and started saying to people like, hey, I'm actually a yoga teacher. Do you need a teacher?
Yes, amazing.
Do you have a job for me? Like, you know, yeah. I'm happy to do like, you know, once a week. I'm quite busy here, but I'm quite happy to get like a gig, one or two, if you know anyone. So I just started talking to people, and then, you know, yeah, from there, people reach out and just give me like, hey, cover, you want to cover this, you want to cover that, and then, and from there.
Now you are teaching. How many hours do you have? Just
one right now. Most of the one, again, like I'm happy with like
one time.
Whatever, one more is great.
So if people want to see, if we want to come to your yoga class,
what time and what day?
Oh yeah, my yoga class will be at the Wednesday on 5:30 in Riva Yoga right now.
Okay. And what type of yoga do you teach?
That's a vinyasa intermediate to advanced level.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. So you're doing a great job, yeah.
Hopefully, yeah. So it's that. But I usually also teach in some other, before I teach in other studio, which is in yoga club, in Tasman club. But I don't know if I can continue that because I'm leaving soon and I don't want to like, you know, make a commitment and leave, you know. The student, because I really invested when once I start teaching, I really love my yoga and with I'm so invested in it. And sometimes when I have students, like when they start growing and stuff, it's very hard to leave them.
Yeah, it's so hard, I imagine. And because you
I really
much
care about
how long do you still have here? 1 month or
one and a maybe like. 2 months maximum.
2 months.
2 months.
Okay.
Oh, 2 months.
Yeah,
it's not a lot.
Most of it.
Now that, we got to know you much better. Now you're leaving. But
you
are coming back in
I'm
July.
I'm coming back sometimes in July.
And then
I'm coming back to New Zealand at some point. But yeah, that's my yoga journey. I'm glad that the Riva Yoga team led me into their group and then allows me to share my practice. That's also one of the... Very grateful for that, and and hoping that I can share my love about yoga and you know, meeting people.
Amazing, because we have was great to hear your story, and I know time is passing so fast. We have a few more minutes. I think it's great that you talk a lot. I think this is what we need, you know?
Yeah, that's
makes
what
our
we
job
want.
Easier.
Yes.
We enjoy listening.
You're amazing. And I mean, from the moment I met Reina, I really connected, you know, with the way she is and always very smiling and very good in a good mood. And it's always nice to, you know, to see her because our kids go to the same school together and they're also very good friends.
I remember when
this
I met
is how
you,
I met so her. So
it was amazing. Lovely. I met you, and you were very, very warm and welcoming to me. I might smile at that time, but actually, I was a little bit like
stiff,
a bit lonely. But I'm glad that that's that. You know, when you have someone that welcomes you, give you, you know, hugs and like, oh, thank you. Like, give you. Trust that you'll attract the right people.
Yes.
You know, if you just keep yourself how you are and kind and, you know, grounded, just be you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, be kind, be you, and you'll attract the right people around you.
And I think this answers the last questions that we had for Reina. Because the last question you usually ask the, you know, our guest is, what would you say to a new person who comes to a new Plymouth or somebody who moves to another city or another town? So you answer by saying be kind and
be you.
There is something else that you will recommend to the people who are listening to our show and what should they do in a new country or...
Learn their culture. Yeah. Once you come to someone else's house, someone else's country, it is just good to know like their daily basic culture, just to and appreciate their way of life, living. From there, you might not get them. You might get them, and then you know, by get them, and you might not get the or agree with the culture, but still, you have to respect that, and yeah, and just be yourself. And well, if something doesn't go to the way you are, take the positive out of it. Try to if you can, and then just. Have a positive mindset.
Yes.
Yeah, so because important. Once it starts, it's from your mind. Once you send this positive mindset, the whole body, I think, just respond. Your what you say, what your body, and yeah, and then what you throw outside has become the seed of what you're gonna get in the future. So that's what I always believe. Don't ever give up to be kind and be positive.
It's amazing. Huh?
That's my one thing that keeps me move on, I think.
Yeah. And doing very well, huh? You're always kind.
Hopefully.
Yes, oh, yeah. Always kind. Also, like Reina was also joining the school committee, but we are doing it at the school community for migrants. So we started at the Global Family. So Reina did a lot of great... networking and great job for...
Yeah, I tried to...
So very grateful for that.
Yeah, I'm glad. Hopefully, you guys continue because I know how hard it is to settle into country without anyone knowing. So we're just hoping, we create some platform or a place, a time for those people who wants to meet with other. And to it doesn't mean we're going to meet one time or two times. You just have to put yourself out there. It's dating.
We have to make a dating app.
Same
for migrants.
With friends.
We're moving into countries a little bit being young and dating again.
Yes,
meeting
other
people,
it's
getting
quite
to know.
Exciting.
Yeah. And then, and see what takes you, where this story takes you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Reina.
Thank you for coming
today. And thank you, Brian, for helping us and setting up the space today.
My pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Brian. Yeah.
Pleasure. Thank you for coming.
Yes.
Thanks for sharing your story.
I know. Yeah. Oh,
thank you, Reina. It was great listening to your journey.
Yes, and thank you, Clara. Always a pleasure to have your warm questions.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And yeah, I think that my story is...
No, your story is online.
Yeah,
but you are out there, so for everyone who is coming from Indonesia or other countries, it's beautiful to hear your story. And
thank you so much. Hope it's just give people a positive reminder that
to be yourself and
to
be kind.
Yourself and be kind, start from you.
Thank you, everyone.
With that, thanks to our listeners, and stay in touch with our social medias and keep listening. And enjoy our beautiful home in Taranaki and keep listening to 104.4 FM.
Access Radio Taranaki.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.